Here's the problem. Life is good, then life gets bad. When life gets bad, we want to say, I quit. I didn't sign up for this. If you would just hold on and persevere and keep going, you're going to be even more blessed. You're going to be even more blessed. The problem is so often we want to quit. Jesus promises, don't quit. Keep persevering. Keep going through it. There's even a bigger blessing at the end.
Compared to many places around the world, being a Christian in America is relatively safe. Today on The Connection, Skip Heitzik explains how the enemy actually uses that safety to attack God's people and what you can do to stand against it. After the teaching, Skip and his wife Lenya share how you can prepare and persevere through life's trials.
When somebody says, I'm a Christian, but I'm going through hard times, I try to be empathetic and sympathetic and love on that person, but I ask, what did you expect in following Jesus? Did you expect hell to give you a standing ovation? Did you expect the devil's children to rally around you and get excited about it? I mean, you are going countercultural.
As a nation, we live on constant guard to preserve our democracy and freedom. But do we pay as much attention to the security of our souls? True security must be based on trusting God and walking daily in His ways.
Though our country is in danger of terrorist attack, we have a greater enemy than that. Yes, our homeland is under attack, but our homes are under attack. Your family is under attack. Your children, churches in this country are under attack, and your souls are also under attack.
In his book, Homeland Security, Skip Heitzik helps you understand the threats the believers face every day to our faith, family, and future. You'll learn what it takes to break away from the crowd and think biblically in order to face your future with true assurance. Homeland Security is our thank you for your gift to help continue broadcasting the truth and power of God's Word on this and other stations. So request yours today when you give at connectiononline.org/offers.
Now, let's get into our study with Pastor Skip. Turn your Bible to Luke chapter 21.
At first it was get rid of prayer in school. Then it was a debate over the public display of the Ten Commandments. Then it was let's take the words under God out of the Pledge of Allegiance, etc., etc., etc. Most of these were spearheaded by the notorious organization with the initials ACLU. They have an agenda. They've stated their agenda. They want to, in their words, ensure the First Amendment, the separation of church and state. They twist the whole concept of that. They want to basically remove any trace of religion, especially Christianity, if you follow their rulings, out of public life whatsoever. Here's a sampling. In California, they sued the National Park Service because they wanted a cross removed from a World War I veterans memorial. There's a little cross on it. There's a cross on it. We got to get rid of it. You're violating the separation of church and state. So they sued the state of California. Then they went after Los Angeles for their seal of the city, which displayed, among many other spiritual icons, a cross. They went after him and said, you got to get rid of that. Even though California history has guys like Father Junipero Serra, who started 21 missions, and it has a huge religious background. Then they went after the city of Redlands, California, because on their seal of the city was also a cross, and the ACLU said, under clearly established law, this seal is unconstitutional. That's bogus. But they are so vigorous and so aggressive and so intimidating, most people fold when this happens. I'm going to show you this book, and I'm just going to read a little paragraph out of it. It's an interesting title. It's called The Criminalization of Christianity. It's one of the books I've been reading in preparation for this. I've read several, actually, but listen to what this author, Janet Folger, writes. She says, there's a war going on for the future of our country. Most people know that. But what they may not know is that if Christians lose, the result won't just be public policy with which we disagree. It will be a prison sentence for those who disagree. Now, she explains that. She writes, I was prepared to make a prediction in this book that many of you wouldn't have believed. I had written it down as an unbelievable, outrageous possibility. I was going to say that if we remain silent in this battle, pastors will go to jail for speaking about homosexuality from their own pulpits in their own churches. But before I could even finish this first chapter, it already happened. And then she cites the case. A Swedish court has sentenced a pastor belonging to the Pentecostal movement in Sweden, Ake Green, he's in his 70s, a month in prison under a law against incitement after he was found guilty of having offended homosexuals in a sermon. Soren Andersson, the president of the Swedish Federation for Lesbian, Gay, Bisexual, and Transgender Rights, said on a hearing that the sentence that religious freedom could never be used as a reason to offend people. Therefore, he told the journalists, "I cannot regard the sentence as an act of interference with the freedom of religion." Close quote. It happened. The criminalization of Christianity. In Elmira, New York, the police arrested seven Christians for praying in a public park where a gay festival was about to get underway. Now listen to the story. They didn't say anything. They didn't protest. They didn't hold up a sign. All they did was get down on their knees and begin to pray, and they were arrested. In Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, two women in their 70s, both of them grandmas, two grandmas, and nine other people were arrested for sharing their faith on a public sidewalk, a possible sentence of 47 years in prison. Because of a Pennsylvania ruling against hate crimes, you shared your faith. That must be a hate crime. Now, some of you might be thinking, Skip, how is any of this appealing to me? You trying to get us to sign up for this? How is any of what you just said ever going to get people attracted to Christianity? Well, I'll tell you this. It beats the alternative. I would much rather go through all of the temporal rejection of this world than the eternal rejection of God. Jesus talked about wailing and gnashing of teeth and everlasting fire. I would say this is a much better deal than that. Now, that's what Jesus predicted. That's the unexpected future for the disciples. Let's look at the next. Let's look at the reason, the unavoidable factor. This is why it'll happen. The end of verse 12, notice. You will be brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. Verse 17, you will be hated by all for my name's sake. They're going to persecute you, Jesus said, because they hate me. They hate me. See, it's not because Christians are ornery or unkind or unlovely, though sometimes they can be. But the reason this is going to happen is because they represent me. They're tied to me, and they represent the gospel. Now, think about the gospel message for a minute. The gospel message is not inclusive. It's very exclusive. It can include everyone. Jesus died for the sins of the whole world. Any person in any country, any language, any age, at any time can come to Jesus Christ and have their sins forgiven. But the gospel message says only those who receive Christ as Lord and Savior will enter heaven. All those who reject him will be eternally lost. That's not an appealing message. That angers people. They hate that message of the gospel. No wonder in Acts chapter 2, when Peter was preaching, it says, now when they heard this, that is the message about Christ, they were cut to the heart. They did not like to hear that. I got an email this week. The email is from somebody who claims to be a believer. I'm not going to doubt. I don't know the person. I don't know if he attends here or if he wrote this by listening from a radio program. But he said, I don't understand why every religion thinks they have the special attention of God. It appears to me that Christians are no better than Muslims. You see, it is a tough message. This narrow gospel is a tough message. Listen, if there were 485 different ways to God, I'd preach all 485 of them. But there's not. If I take a plain, simple reading of Scripture, there is but one way to heaven. And that angers people. And so Jesus said, it's on account of me. It's for my name's sake. That's the unavoidable factor. Here's the principle. Great persecution is simply a result of the Great Commission. Can you remember that? Great persecution is simply a result of the Great Commission. If you go into all the world and preach the gospel, you're going to get persecuted. All those who live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Jesus said in John 15, if the world hates you, you know it hated me before it hated you, that it might be fulfilled. Listen to this. They hated me without a cause. Have you ever had somebody just hate you for no reason? Why don't you lie? I just hate you. Well, why? I just do. Well, that's not fair. Listen, Jesus has first dibs on that. They hated me without a cause. If they hate you, it's because they hate me. I was listening the other night to a little MP3 broadcast of Madeleine Murray O'Hare. You remember, she was a very vocal forerunner of the atheistic movement in America. Then I followed her over the years until her death in 95. But I was listening to this MP3 debate interview with Walter Martin and Madeleine Murray O'Hare and a host. And her language was so demeaning and vitriolic and hostile toward Christians especially. This is what she said. Christianity is intolerant, anti-democratic, anti-sexual, and anti-life. It is anti-woman, and I cannot stand that. It is anti-everything that is good and human and decent and kind and love-filled and understanding. I used to have an intellectual hatred for Christianity. I think that is broadening now. I'm enjoying hating the whole thing. Wow. How tolerant of her and loving of her to state it in such a manner. So the unexpected future of persecution is based on the unavoidable factor of my name's sake. So, how is that to be met? What do we do now? Well, it takes unswerving followers to meet up with that. Unswerving followers. I know you received Jesus Christ and it was wonderful and you thought, this life rocks. This is great. Then all of a sudden life gets hard. People laugh at you. Your family rejects you. You lose a job or a relationship because of it. And it's very, very difficult. So what do? Well, number one, you believe in his promise. Look at what it says in verse 18. But not a hair of your head shall be lost. Now, what does that mean? He just got through saying, they're going to hate you and kill you. But by the way, not even a hair of your head is going to be lost. Now, does that mean the Christians are exempt from suffering? That we're not going to go through the hard times that he said we would? That we're somehow exempt and protected? That wouldn't make sense. That would contradict what he just said. No, this is a saying. This is a saying. This is a statement. Just like we say, no skin off my back. That's an ancient saying. Now, I'm going to read another verse of scripture that's going to explain what this verse means. Same idea, different verse. This is Matthew chapter 10, verses 28 through 30. Jesus said, do not fear those who can kill the body but cannot kill the soul. But fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin, and not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will? And the very hairs of your head are all numbered. What he is simply saying is this. I and my Father take personalized care and concern whenever one of my children is being persecuted and mistreated. Just like a sparrow doesn't fall to the ground without your Father's will, these things aren't going to happen without your Father's will. And I take special interest and concern. And here's why this is promised. Because when we're being so poorly treated by the world, we're apt to think, where's God? He doesn't care. Look what's happening to me. And Jesus would say, not a hair of your head shall be lost. So whatever you lose in this earth, you lose a boyfriend because of your relationship to Christ. You lose a job. You even get killed, as some have and are being. Then you die and you get ushered into heaven. I can guarantee you this. You're never going to look back at what you lost. You're never going to say, I lost my boyfriend. The rewards are going to be so great that it could be said, not a hair of, you're not going to lose anything. Jesus said, rejoice and be exceedingly glad when you are persecuted, for great is your reward in heaven. Do you believe his promise? Second, you persevere. Verse 19, and we'll close with this. By your patience, possess your souls. By your patience, possess your souls. Now, that's sort of enigmatic, isn't it? What does that mean? It's here's another translation, the New English Bible. By standing firm, you will win true life for yourselves. By standing firm. Patience is another word for enduring, persevering. It's the same idea as Matthew 24:13 or Mark 13:13, which is the same event being covered. Jesus said, he who endures to the end will be saved. Here's the problem. Life is good, then life gets bad. When life gets bad, we want to say, I quit. I didn't sign up for this. If you would just hold on and persevere and keep going, you're going to be even more blessed. You're going to be even more blessed. The problem is so often we want to quit. Jesus promises, don't quit. Keep persevering. Keep going through it. There's even a bigger blessing at the end. Like those Lebanese and Syrian and Iraqi and Jordanian pastors with that joy that they had. Don't quit. In fact, maybe it would be better, instead of praying for a lighter load, how about let's pray for stronger backs? Let's pray for stronger backs. So assaults are going to come, and when assaults come, you trust the Lord and you stay the course. Let me give you two quick ways to do that in closing. Two quick ways to do that. Number one, shine your light. Number two, spread your salt. Okay, shine your light. The world wants to put out your light. Don't argue about light bulbs. Turn on the light. Share Christ with people. Tell them the truth. Don't back down. Peter said we should always be ready to give a reason, an answer, a defense for the hope that lies in us. But when you do it, Peter said, do it with meekness, reverence. Don't beat people with a gospel club, you wretched, foul sinner. You're going to hell. That's the good news. Now, a soft answer turns away wrath. Shine the light. Then, number two, spread your salt. We're called salt and light. We live in America, not the Roman Empire. We don't have a Caesar over us. We have a part in the process. We can vote. We can get involved in setting policy. We can make what we believe in count. And so do that. Make a difference. Or every year you'll complain at how bad it is, but you never did anything at all to change that. We live in a country where we can do that. But I want to warn you in saying that. I want to warn you. Because I think Christians think that for the gospel to flourish in America, we have to have righteous politics and righteous government. You don't. In fact, if you look at history, the gospel flourished greatly when it was often persecuted the most and hated the most. Look at the Roman Empire. Look at the Cultural Revolution in China. Today, 100 million Christians came out of great persecution. So it's not like we have to have all the right people and all the right politics. So whatever happens in this next year with the election, don't go, oh, God's gone now. God never requires any kind of form of government for him to continue his work on the earth. Get involved, spread the salt, shine the light, and trust the Lord. So is the church secure? Absolutely, yes. The gates of hell will not prevail against it. When I was a kid in school, I wasn't great at sports. I did them because I had to do them, but I wasn't really great in any of them. And so when it was time to pick teams,
I hated it. Because I knew I wouldn't get picked first. Or second. Or third. I'd be the kid kind of hanging around going, I hope somebody picks me. But I knew that if the team captains were either Duane Moore or David McCaffrey, I want to be on either of their teams because those are winning teams. Those guys know how to strategize and they're great athletes. So I was hoping I'd get picked on one of those teams. You're on the winning team. Jesus picked you on his team. Always good to know that you're on the winning team. So know that going into all of this. And don't back down. Now, remember that old hymn back in the 1870s has been sung to our century. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war with the cross of Jesus going on before. That was a hymn that was written off of 2 Timothy, which says, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Let's do that. Let's march onward. Let's not do what some other author did in changing the words of that hymn to read, backward Christian soldiers fleeing from the fight with the cross of Jesus nearly out of sight. Christ, our rightful master, stands against the foe. Onward into battle we seem afraid to go. Let's not shrink from this battle. Let's say, I'm up for it. We're up for it. I love you. I love this church. Let's march into the future together preaching the gospel. And the question isn't, how many Christians does it take to change a light bulb? The real question is this, how many Christians does it take to shine the light? Just one. Just one who will be bold enough at work, at school, in the neighborhood, stand up, turn on the light, share Jesus. People won't like me. They didn't like him. People will be mean to me. They were mean to him. Great is your reward in heaven.
One of the bravest things you can do is shine the light of Jesus in a dark world, helping the lost find their way to eternal life in heaven. But doing so often comes with a cost. Now, here's Skip and Lenya to talk about how you can be ready for life's trials when they come.
The church is under attack in our culture. Wow, in the world, isn't it, honey? Mm-hmm. Every viewpoint and ideology is tolerated except the Christian viewpoint. And then we are intolerant and whatever, haters. So Jesus promised that we would encounter persecution. You know, be of good cheer. In the world, you'll have tribulation. How can we prepare for trials that come our way because of our faith, because of our very stance?
Well, that's exactly what Jesus promised would happen. It's exactly what Paul said he experienced. In fact, he said, and it's sort of an unusual cry, he said, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable even unto his death. And so we need to start with a biblical worldview of the Christian life. And when I say that, I follow that up with a question. When somebody says, I'm a Christian, but I'm going through hard times, I try to be empathetic and sympathetic and love on that person, but I ask, what did you expect in following Jesus? Did you expect hell to give you a standing ovation? Did you expect the devil's children to rally around you and get excited about it? I mean, you are going countercultural. You are going contra mundum, against the value system of this world. So if you expect coming to Christ and having, as one popular author says, your best life now, you're going to be sorely disappointed because the Bible never promises you'll have your best life now. It promises your best life later.
Later. Well, if we're salt, salt is kind of irritating, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if we're light, light can be really irritating. And so just by virtue of who Christ said that we are, we're going to rub up against the world They're not going to like it.
That's right. And that's how I ended this message, in fact, is that shine your light and spread your salt. You know, shine your light. Don't back down. You know, be ready to give an answer. The Bible says, when people question you, be ready to explain and to defend the faith, but then spread your salt. Get involved in your culture. Don't be a hermit.
In our day and age, attitudes toward the Christian faith are becoming more hostile. Our faith is under attack, and we must stand strong in the Lord. That's why we want to help strengthen the faith of our brothers and sisters around the world. And you can help do that too by giving to keep this broadcast going out. Give a gift now by calling 800-922-1888. 800-922-1888.
One area in society where we see fierce debates and battles is in the arena of truth. The question of what truth is has serious ramifications. So tomorrow on The Connection, Skip will show you.
Make a connection. Make a connection at the foot of the cross. Cast your burdens on his wood. Make a connection.
The Connection is a presentation of Connection Communications, connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.